We are on the brink of an all-new money system. How will that affect you?
I think that's really the right setting as we approach these five things, because these five things that are coming upon us are catastrophic. We have an economic tsunami coming, and it is plotted and planned, and it's being executed right before our eyes.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks with Pastor Mark Henry. The Bible talks extensively about economic issues, and the book of Revelation outlines our economic future. How close are we to what is predicted? How much will believers actually see of this end-time system? Here is today's programming.
I think that's really the right setting as we approach these five things, because these five things that are coming upon us are catastrophic. We have an economic tsunami coming, and it is plotted and planned, and it's being executed right before our eyes. All of us have seen the video from World Economic Forum about how you'll own nothing and be happy, right? And all of us have seen the little videotapes. I won't show it to you. Remember, the next part of that presentation is everything that you need, you can rent. And it's so cool, the drones are gonna bring it. And that's how they sell it to a younger generation. Yeah, that's right. I don't really need much. I can just rent everything. That just means you're a slave. You own nothing. We're going backwards, not forwards. And you're supposed to celebrate that. Well, the first time I saw that presentation, I thought, there are five asset classes. How in the world can that happen? In other words, if you're going to own nothing, they have to attack all five of these. Now, you can attack one. You might attack two, but there's laws in place. They can't attack all five of these. This is impossible. These are the goals of the elite for 2030. It's impossible. Now, if you study economics, this is kind of a layman's description of these five elements. But these five elements are what make up the economy. Your net worth is tied up in these five things. And what I want you to see with me is there is a deliberate plan for each and every one. Now, you got to listen all the way through, because a lot of people, when I talk on this subject, they'll say, well, I've got a retirement plan and I own all these stocks and I got a 401k. I'm just telling you, there is a very systematic plan to make sure that you own nothing by 2030. If we go through the book of Habakkuk, he describes when the Chaldeans come, they're going to take people away as slaves. They're going to dismantle the whole financial underpinnings of the country. We're seeing this actually happen. It's crazy.
So glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. And we hear a lot about a troubled economy. Each and every day, there are stories about inflation, about families being unable to keep up with day-to-day expenses, about people working multiple jobs, about small businesses closing. And each day, we hear from politicians who are going to fix it all, even though they've caused the problem. We know that the 7-year tribulation, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, will have a lot of economic implications. And people will not be able to buy or sell. There'll be a mark placed on people known as the mark of the beast. By the way, believers are enjoying heaven at this time, spared from God's wrath. And we see in Revelation 13 that an antichrist will try to control everything and everyone. America will likely have declined, well, almost unimaginable. Going to decline in power and influence, and a strong man will rise to prominence, and he will be an economic tyrant. Well, that brings me to today's programming, and Pastor Mark Henry is the pastor of Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church, San Jacinto, California, and he has been the host pastor of the Understanding the Times one-night conferences presented along with Olive Tree Ministries the last 3 years, and we've reached 75, 80 countries over that time with the current events and apologetics type emphasis. Pastor Mark is the featured guest on our next Understanding the Times one-night event. That would be Thursday evening, October the 10th in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. So, Mark, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Jan.
Before we go down this economic highway here, I just have to divert for just a moment, please, because as we speak, there's so much going on that people are really troubled by, and obviously the economy fits into all of that. But we're a divided nation, blue-red, conservative versus progressive, God-fearing versus godless people, but we're just a very, very divided nation. And here in late September 2024. We're looking at multiple attempts to kill, dismantle, destroy a presidential candidate, and just as significant, destroy a movement behind him. Call it what you want, MAGA, freedom-loving, conservative. It's a movement that hates progressivism, hates secularism. And are we really going to have an election in November?
I pray to God that we do. And we need to pray for the states as they're working through this whole thing with the ballot. And we need to pray for our country, because let's face it, we don't want to be a banana republic and all of this be a sham and we'd be the laughingstock of the world.
But we're on a rapid rate heading to become a banana republic. We're 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah, it's hard to deny in many ways, Jan, and it's a heartbreak. But by God's grace, that's exactly where we'll end up being.
Exactly. So government is addicted to spending. And what happens when a nation does that, just like America is doing?
Yeah, it's economic collapse. And as you look back through history, you see these various world empires as they grow, and then they become the global currency. And then they get to a point where they start borrowing money because they can, and that's detrimental. I mean, people love to spend. All of us would love to spend more money than we make. All of us have probably done that at different times. And when countries file bankruptcy, all of that ends, and that republic is gone.
The other thing I'm observing, and we're talking about America here in this particular segment, I would say that in the last 3.5, now almost 4 years, America has become an enemy of Israel. I mean, the current administration has sought ways to marginalize her, stop her from defending herself, revealed intelligence to the enemies of Israel. Why won't we come under the Genesis 12:3 curse? And I think we're already in the process of doing that.
Yeah, there's 5 reasons that I found in the scriptures why God judges nations. Anti-Semitism is one. And definitely we've had several presidents now who have opposed Israel, who hate Israel in various ways, undermining Israel in obvious ways and also ways that aren't quite so obvious. Just recently with the pagers and what happened, and there was a reason the Israelis couldn't tell the U.S. government because they were afraid that it would get leaked out. There's a lot of forces working in the background. That deep state is a real issue.
So, Mark, I played a little tease of you. I also played a little introductory comment of you here as the program got rolling. And you talked about an economic tsunami coming. So I want to transition here into the economy. Economic tsunami, that's very strong language.
Yeah, we kind of grew up on the West Coast, Jared and I did. And all along the West Coast, you've got these signs that says, you know, like in a tsunami, go to high ground. And it'll show even different routes. Or if you've been to Hawaii or Alaska, you'll see this. It's very common. The idea is you won't be able to see it when you're out in the ocean. It's sweeping across. It comes out of nowhere. But when it hits, it's totally destructive. And the World Economic Forum, again, their 8 agenda items for 2030 is that America is no longer a superpower. And in order to do that, you have to destroy the economy. And then, of course, their first one was is that we'd own nothing and be happy. And again, the first time I heard that, I was like, Jan, how would they do that? We've got 5 asset classes. And what I've discovered is all 5 of those asset classes are systematically being attacked, but it's under the water and it's hard for people to see and understand.
And I'm heading there in just a minute or two, Mark. So Americans, we have been burdened, and I'm going to use the term that everyone is familiar with. It's the term called Bidenomics. And what in the world does that mean? We know it means massive spending. We know it means taking America's money. We know it means inflation, businesses shutting down. People fleeing states like Minnesota and California, they're just plain fleeing the blue states to get to freedom in Texas and Tennessee and other places like that. Are you thinking then that that's Bidenomics? What's ahead with Kamalanomics if, in fact, she gets elected president of the United States? More of the same?
Yeah, I just heard Steve Forbes say that her ideology when it comes to economics is even far worse than anything we've experienced this far. In fact, his exact words were, if she is allowed to apply her view of economics on the United States, it'll be worse than the Great Depression. And I don't think he's using hyperbole there, because he goes through and he illustrates a death tax. He talks about capital gains tax. He talks about corporate tax, how they would be the highest in the world and the consequences of that. Inflation will continue. One of the things that we've heard in recent days is different people running for office saying they wouldn't stop fracking. They would never put a ban on that. But what they do is they regulate it so it's impossible. And that's exactly what's happened. In fact, even in the presidential debate the other day, the first person started off and saying, we've got a housing problem and we have to fix that. Well, you created it by allowing 10 to 20 million people to come into the United States. And that creates a housing crisis. And then you've created a housing crisis because you won't let us build dams to back up water in California to be able to build more homes. And then, of course, you know how long it takes to get a building permit in a place like California or Minnesota? It's horrible, Jan. So they can say, oh, we're going to fix this problem. You created the problem. Right. And now you're going to tell us you've got a solution to fix it. More of what they're doing will only destroy the economy
well,
of the United States.
Well, this is Kamala in her own words.
I want to begin tonight with the issue that voters repeatedly say is their number one issue, and that is the economy and the cost of living in this country. Vice President Harris, you and President Trump were elected 4 years ago, and your opponent on the stage here tonight often asks his supporters, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? When it comes to the economy, do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle-class kid. And I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people. And that is why I imagine and have actually a plan to build what I call an opportunity economy. Because here's the thing. We know that we have a shortage of homes and housing, and the cost of housing is too expensive for far too many people. We know that young families need support to raise their children, and I intend on extending a tax cut for those families of $6,000, which is the largest child tax credit that we have given in a long time, so that those young families can afford to buy a crib, buy a car seat, buy clothes for their children.
So, Mark Henry, what's wrong with what she just said? I know everything, but explain.
It's great. You got a plan. Well, tell us what the plan is.
Never.
No details to the plan.
Never.
Because the reality is the plan is more of what they've already done. We've got a housing crisis. Again, you've created it. You've got a housing crisis. You won't let us build. Jan, our own church has tried to sell a piece of property here in Minnesota. We've got a very socialist system here in Minnesota. And we've tried to sell that six times. It's the government that has shut that down so we can't sell our own property. And that's hindered our church from moving forward and to accomplish the mission which we have. That's what socialists end up doing. There's so much red tape. There's so much regulation. But here's one of the great ironies of what was just said. We're going to give a tax credit if you have children of 6K. This is the person that just says we should kill as many children as we possibly can. And so unborn children have no value. But if they are born and they're in your home, now they have great value. And so we're going to give you a tax credit. I could just go on and on with this insane sort of thinking, I would suggest, in regard to finances. No one can overspend on their personal finances on a state level or on a national level and succeed.
If you just joined me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Pastor Mark Henry. He's pastor of Revived Church, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. And he's the co-host of the Understanding the Times one-night events we've had here in suburban Minneapolis now for 3 years. We're going to be having another one of those meetings on Thursday evening, October the 10th. And there's no cost, no registration. You just come on out. That's 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. More convenient for most of you is live stream it at no cost. MarkHenryMinistries.com, MarkHenryMinistries.com. We'll have it available post-program on our website, on Rumble, on YouTube. We'll even have a DVD of it. Again, Thursday evening, October the 10th at 7 p.m. Central Time. Please make note, 7 p.m. Central Time, how to prepare for the coming economic tsunami. We will be talking about that for a couple of hours that evening. So, Mark, you talk about the five asset classes. And first of all, most people, when it comes to the economy, they know they're struggling, they know there's inflation, and they kind of tune out after that. But you have made it really clear that there are five asset classes. And quite frankly, the government would like to step in and interfere with all of them.
So here's the five. In order to build a prosperous country, number one, you can't overspend, right? Proverbs tells us that the person or the nation or the people that love pleasure and oil will become poor. So how do you attack the economy? Five asset classes. Number one is cash. We understand that. Then stocks. And this is kind of layman terminology. We talk about this in different ways. But cash, stocks, realty, your own home or rentals or other properties that you buy, a business that you would start, that's an asset. And then commodities. And everybody's net worth. It doesn't matter if you're talking Donald Trump or my grandson, who's 13 years old. Their assets are tied up in those five asset classes.
And what I found interesting is you've actually tied those assets to a Bible complete passage in Ezekiel 38:39. How do you tie that into the Bible?
When we talk about the battle of Gog and Magog, I look at these five asset classes and we talk about each of them individually. And October 10th, they're on the Thursday night event. We will look at each of these and talk about systematically how each of them are being attacked in depth. But people often say, what do I do with my finances and how do I manage them? Well, one of the hints that the Holy Spirit gives us is in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is that commodities are always going to be valuable. It's very interesting. It says in Ezekiel 38, 13, it mentions two of the countries, Saudi Arabia, for example, and Tarshish and these various villages, they're coming into Israel. And it says, we've come to take spoil. And then it tells what the spoil is, to carry away silver and gold and take away cattle and goods. So when you're looking at commodities, for example, there's hard commodities, which are gold and silver, oil, and then there's soft commodities. That's like cattle. That's like wheat. And if you remember in the third seal judgment, it talks about the inflation during the tribulation period. And it says people work for a whole day for very low quality flour. Again, these are all commodities that if you and I have as we carry our wealth forward, it's probably going to stand the test of time.
So is there a point that you're making here with these five asset classes and the biblical analysis that you've given us? Is this a warning to people as it concerns their finances?
Absolutely. Every person, Jan, as I do this with my grandsons, I've done this with my kids and hundreds of people, everyone needs to look at their net worth and they need to look at those five asset classes and where have you got your money invested? Even if we've only got $50, you need to know exactly where that $50 is.
And a lot of people, that's all they have.
Praise God for the 50, because when Jerry and I got married, we had nothing. And then over time, applying biblical principles, that's grown, praise God. And we're in all of these asset classes now. But everyone has to look at where they're at, and then they need to evaluate what are the greatest threats at the moment. For example, in cash right now, inflation is the number one concern. We are being taxed at an unbelievable rate. Jan, my daughter moved to Minnesota a year ago. A year ago, she would buy 60 eggs for us, and it was $10. The other day we were talking, so now it's just been a year and a couple of months. She's spending $18. Hmm. I went to get an iced tea the other day from a fast food restaurant just before one of our services for a little caffeine so I could keep going. And Jerry and I historically have paid a dollar plus tax was like $1.06. The other day I went and got one, it was $1.86. Both those illustrate that there's an 80% increase for those two items in our economy. Now, when you have stagnation of our wages and you have inflation, they're robbing us blind. And how did they do that? By printing money.
Exactly.
And then they bait everyone in and say, we'll send you a little check. I'm just telling you, they are destroying the middle class. And that's why cash is of concern.
So
right
where
now.
Do you see this going? What you're saying is very ominous. I think every listener is extremely concerned. And as they listen to you, they get more concerned. But where do you see this going? Best case, worst case?
The reality is we're at $35 trillion
right now.
Our military budget is 17% of our total budget. This next year, our interest payment as a nation will be equal to our defense budget. And that's unsustainable. I used to think, when are these guys going to stop? When are we going to balance the budget? When are we going to pay this back? My conclusion is none of them intend to pay anything back. What they intend to do is for us just to print more money, to destroy the economy, to set it up so we can have digital currency.
Exactly.
Or a global currency. And quite honestly, build mega wealth. Because when you're printing money, it's the middle class and the poor that end up suffering. Those that are very wealthy, they end up taking these resources and they just multiply. That's why Bill Gates is becoming richer as they're printing money and you and I are becoming poor.
So I see probably a new money system up ahead, and the Bible says there's going to be a new money system. The Bible says there's going to be a strong man come along who's going to manage all of this that we're talking about. Now, he's not here yet, and obviously the pathway is being prepared for him. Maybe he's the only one who can step in and manage what we're talking about.
Absolutely. The Bible says that the Antichrist is going to come out of the sea. That's generally a reference to the Gentile nations. And so we're anticipating, my understanding of that passage in Book of Revelation is the Antichrist is coming out of Europe. And so America can't be the global giant. We can't have the global economy and have everything tied up. I've said this many, many times. America is not in Bible prophecy. Yeah. And so therefore it had to somehow be neutralized. I just never thought it would be this way, Jan. And it's just breaking my heart because the implications are so massive. The danger for Israel, the threat there, the threat for Christians around the world, for missions around the world. We've helped start hundreds of churches now in Central Africa and helped organizations plant tens of thousands of churches now in India. When America is gone, that is not going to happen anymore.
I foresee a new money system coming. Now, again, Book of Revelation talks about all that. We're not there yet. And I think you and I feel that believers aren't going to see hardly anything in the Book of Revelation. Obviously, we are going to be a part of Jesus' return and all of that. But a new money system is coming. And Pippa Malmgren talks about that. And folks, I've played this clip before, but it is so profound. I want to play it again. And then, Mark, I want to discuss it for a few minutes because she's saying that digital is coming.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The US is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
So, Mark Henry, she is so casual about this. Hey, we're on the brink of a whole new money system. It's going to be digital. It's like, well, tomorrow I'm going out for lunch. So, what gives?
If you're in her circles,
yeah,
this
right.
is the opportunity to grab.
Globalist.
Exactly. She's at the World Economic Forum when she's talking about this, right? So she's in her, with her friend. She's in with this elite group. And China is leading the way, and Russia right now is leading the way. Friends, they are not friends to freedom. They are not friends to capitalism. They are not friends to the middle class. They are not friends to Christians. Why are they leading the way? Because this is the opportunity for them to totally control their people. And we're going to do America the same way. And then she talks, it's laughable. We're going to have a digital constitution. Friends, we got people running around the United States who don't like the constitution we've got, believe it's a living document, robbing us of our freedoms right in the constitution, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to gather, etc. And they're going to make us feel good by creating a constitution for digital currency. Mm-hmm. Boy, Jan, that is seductive.
We haven't seen digital money yet. There were people projecting it happening this fall. Well, we're in this fall. They're saying it will happen without a doubt by January 1st. I don't think so. I think we're a ways away from it yet. What do you think?
It's hard to get the read on that because remember back in March 9th of 2022, the president signed an executive order.
Yes, I remember.
Forget what the Constitution says. Forget about Congress. Forget about making laws the right way. Let's go ahead and do what we want. And so he signed that executive order. Jan, you and I spent a lot of time talking about it at one of our Thursday night events.
Yeah.
The bottom line is there's tons of money and tons of personnel that are working rapidly to bring that about. The Fed has told us that they're working in the background. The Fed does it two ways. They say, oh, it's a long ways out and it's complicated. And then the other times they'll say, it's just around the corner. Well, we know it's being worked on and we know it's being implemented in other countries. It can't be far away. What's the trigger point? No one knows, but plan on it. It's coming.
Mark Hitchcock agrees with you, by the way, and I'm just going to play a short clip of him talking about this. Actually, 114 nations are now exploring digital, and few of them already have it.
There's an article or a headline that came out in the Wall Street Journal that says central bank digital currencies are coming, whether countries are ready or not. And then the subheading said, the development could have a profound impact on the banking system, but few people understand it. And I think that's an understatement there, that few people understand this. I think very few people understand the implications of what's coming. Just a little background about this. 114 countries are exploring digital currencies. So this isn't some kind of marginal idea. This is 114 nations are in various stages of either exploring or implementing these central bank digital currencies. These 114 countries represent 95% of the global gross domestic product. So basically, it pretty much covers all the main nations in the world. Now, there are advantages to these central bank digital currencies that are often touted. They'll say, well, this is going to help prevent money laundering. It's going to reduce fraud, counterfeiting. all kinds of terrorist financing, drug trafficking. There's all kinds of ways this will help, even probably with disease and pandemics, because, you know, a lot of disease is spread by money that's transferred from one hand to another. But these central bank digital currencies, as many advantages as there are, there's some incredible disadvantages to this and major problems with this. Now, again, just a little bit more background. 17 countries, including Russia and China, are currently piloting a central bank digital currency. So it's not been fully adopted, but they have a pilot project. 11 nations are developing one, such as the United States and Japan, which Japan has announced that its central bank digital currency pilot program is going to launch this year. Also, 11 countries have actually fully launched a central bank digital currency, including the Bahamas and Nigeria. And India, the second most populous country in the world, maybe first now, will pilot a retail digital currency called the e-rupee. So the e-rupee is going to come online. The digital yen, the pilot program for that in Japan will be this year. And countries like China continue to test their version of a central bank digital currency. And of course, theirs is referred to as the digital yuan, but it now reaches 260 million people in China. So this is something we see happening around the world, but it's also something that is hitting home here in America. This has really been in the works in America since 2017. President Biden signed an executive order. It's Executive Order 14067 on March 9th of 2022. But an article came out that says San Francisco Fed, so the Fed there in San Francisco, is hiring for digital currency development. So the Fed in San Francisco is now putting out feelers and putting out for job applications for people to come work on the digital currency. And the article says the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco is looking for software developers to help research and design a central bank digital currency. So this is coming to the United States, really, whether people ultimately want it or not.
So, Mark Henry, and that was Dr. Mark Hitchcock. And fascinating little insight there. It's coming whether we like it or not, but we know it's coming because the Bible says it's coming. I think the question is, how much will the believers see of this? And we don't know.
We don't know, Jan. Obviously, in Revelation 13, it says the Antichrist is going to control all the buying
That's
and selling.
Right.
And it'd be really easy with the digital currency because not only can you set the price on things, but it says how many pencils you can buy. Now, you may not want a pencil, but we need to sell pencils because we don't have any pens. So no, you can't have a pen, but you can have a pencil. Or you want eggs, but we don't have any eggs to sell you. So we're going to sell you chicken legs. So you can have as many chicken legs as you want. And so it's very controllable of the populace. But I think that the tyranny of it, what Mark just said there, Dr. Hitchcock, so profound. It's coming whether you like it or not. I thought only communist countries did that. I thought we were a constitutional republic. I thought we had democratic process. What happened to that, Jan?
Well, that points to the urgency of we have an election coming up actually in just a few weeks. And I'm going down a little different road here, and I'm going to come back to the financial angle because, again, that's going to be the focus of our meeting at Revive Church on Thursday evening, October the 10th. And I was sitting in the auditorium of Revive Church when you talked about this, and Harbinger's Daily, the fantastic Christian online newspaper, summarize what you said. This is a few weeks ago now. Basically, they said progressive extremism and socialism, this is what kind of vice president my governor would be. In other words, you were rightfully very critical of the governor of the state of Minnesota because we are under the yoke and burden of Governor Waltz big time. It's turned into a socialist state, totally socialist. It's leaning almost Marxist. But again, this was a great warning you gave us, and I know you paid a price for it. Summarize what you said.
When Governor Waltz was presented as a potential vice president of the United States, I got bombarded with texts that
right.
day and emails, people from all around the country saying, what kind of guy is he? And what kind of policy does he have? And what's this going to look like? And what I always tell people is this, I'm not endorsing any candidate. What I am saying is every candidate needs to be evaluated by their merits. In other words, what they have done, what they have said, you got to ask the question, what they say, is that really what they do or not? And we've got a long track record here with Governor Waltz, and he's very much in the socialist realm. We've seen his interest in China. And quite honestly, Jan, you and I lived through these last 4 years with him. We've seen the devaluation of human
yes.
life. We have the worst abortion
Correct.
Policies in the country. And if you go to MarkHenryMinistries.com, I've just interviewed some lawyers who have been fighting this for the last 2 years, and they give a lot of very specific detail on that with Governor Waltz. and the celebration of the unholy sexuality that is celebrated in our society. Someone has said, I would not let my grandkids stay with Governor Waltz because they'd come back and they might have had a sex change. And Glenn, people say that not laughingly. Funny. It's not funny.
It's not funny. It's very true.
We think about poor education. We've added $2 billion to our $23 billion budget here in Minnesota. Our children cannot read. I had an individual tell me in their junior high, they had 1 7-year-old that was at reading level. They had 4 8th graders and they had 0 9th graders. The bottom line is this, we're spending billions of dollars and the children don't know how to read. Why? Because we're going to manipulate them? Yeah, we're manipulating them and teaching them to be woke warriors, not people who can read and think and understand the Constitution. Did you know, Jan, they don't even teach World War II anymore in Minnesota. They've eliminated that. Had a teacher the other day talking about some of these things like 9/11. And they told their class, we're not going to talk about 9/11 this week, class, because none of you were alive then and it really doesn't matter.
Wow.
That is a wrecker for this country when you say history doesn't matter. That's a reason we've done certain things in the Middle East. There's a reason we support Israel. There's a reason because there's people trying to kill us and kill off the state of Israel. So if you think about Governor Waltz again and you think about his view of the ownership of children by the state rather than by parents. And I could just go on and on down there. The destruction of the nuclear family, dismantling of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble. The increase in lawlessness and disorder in the state is probably unmatched. Maybe we're trying to catch up to Chicago.
Well, the whole world watched us burn in May and June of 2020. The whole world. We were the hub of the world when it came to violence, lawlessness, disorder, mayhem, and the destruction of a portion of Minneapolis.
And Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit.
Yes.
So when you ask me, you know, what's our governor like? Well, look at the fruit and look at how he managed. And this would be true for anybody that's running for office. It's not just one party, it's both parties. Everyone needs to be evaluated. The meritocracy is very important. Everyone needs to be evaluated for what they do. Scripture says, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap.
But Governor Waltz says one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. And he's all about loving your neighbor. Governor Waltz, you did not love the neighbors who lived in the section of Minneapolis that no longer exists in May of 2020 when it was burned to the ground. You didn't worry about those neighbors at all. You let it burn for 3 days.
Yeah. And our family members that were in rest homes and we weren't able to go and see them.
Yes.
Didn't love our churches. The big thing was love your neighbor and don't gather. And people were losing their minds in the past. Socialism is not loving your neighbor. In fact, Jan, socialism is the exact opposite of loving your neighbor. The Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat. Proverbs tells us that when a person is hungry, it compels them to do what is good, like to work. Socialism says, you know what? Government's going to go ahead and steal from those who are working, and we're going to redistribute it. It's the weaponizing of the government from one group to another group. It's unhealthy, it's ungodly, and our children are being seduced by it on all fronts.
So, Mark, I got an email recently, and I'm just going to read a portion of it and get your response here. They say, can you address in a program, Jan, many Christians are falsely believing that Donald Trump is the Antichrist and he and Netanyahu orchestrated the October 7th attack of last year because they needed war in order to bring about the need for peace and that Christians should not vote for Donald Trump because of this. And much of this is being fueled by an online pastor, and she names him, and I'm not going to, folks. I've been supportive of this pastor until he kind of went sideways and began talking heavily about conspiracy. Anyway, she goes on to say, many are taking false accusations and they're running with some of these teachings, and because Donald Trump was behind it, well, the mark of the beast is already here. Give me your thoughts on all of this.
It's complicated, Jan, and there's going to be Christians who disagree. And how do you sort through the information? Now, whenever someone asks a question like that of me, I start asking them some questions. Who's been funding Iran in recent days?
That would not be Donald Trump.
It's not Donald Trump. Who removed the tariffs and the oil restrictions and so forth on Iran? It's not Donald Trump. Who has been ignoring Bibi when he comes to the United States?
Exactly.
Who pulled out of Afghanistan and left $85 billion worth of weapons behind? And quite honestly, it wasn't an orderly withdrawal. It was like a rout. It's deplorable in American history. Who keeps telling Israel to stand down and make peace and they're the aggressor? Who lets American bases be attacked over and over again? Jan, I just read an article that says U.S. troops injured in an attack at an air base White House warns of possible response. A possible response? If Ronald Reagan was here or someone who believed that America is a leader in the world, there would have been a response and there would have been fear and trepidation on those who did such things.
All right. There are those in the evangelical community, again, who are encouraging folks not to vote. And we don't have perfect candidates. Amen. I totally agree. But as you've just outlined, Mark, not voting is not an option.
No, not in a constitutional republic. It's not like during the Bible days when they were living under tyranny and basically everywhere in the New Testament says just submit to government. It was like us living in China. That isn't. You are the government. The government works for you. And we only got a couple of options. And so you have to look from a meritocracy and say who can run things, who can't run things, who's going to support religious freedom and so forth. And I think things start to narrow down and becomes really clear. And not to vote is to vote for evil in our day.
We have an election in just a few weeks, so we're just trying to warn the world. I'm not quite leaving, though, Mark Henry, the fact that digital money is coming. I think the audience needs to start thinking about how do we handle this, when and if it hits. It's going to. We just don't know how much, as believers, we're going to see. So one more clip here with Dr. Mark Hitchcock talking about how what we're talking about fits into eschatology or Bible prophecy.
Now, I think this fits in dramatically with the prophetic picture of the end times. Because I think in the third seal judgment, the rider on the black horse, it starts out the rider, the white horse, the Antichrist, the rider on the red horse is warfare that begins to break out. And then in the wake of warfare is going to be basically a global economic implosion during the tribulation period. It's going to be an all-out implosion. It's going to be hyperinflation. It's going to take everything a person can earn just to buy enough cheap food to eat. You can read about it there in Revelation chapter 6, the rider on the black horse. So it's going to be a global financial apocalypse. And I think out of that, the Antichrist will rise as the global economic savior. And he's going to institute eventually a global economic system. He's going to rule the world economically. Ultimately, he'll rule the world religiously and politically and militarily in Revelation 13. But I think his entree is going to initially be in the area of the economy. That's the easiest way to gain control. And I don't think there'll have to be a global currency. If you have these central bank digital currencies in place, if you can get control of this, then you can control all of these currencies and basically control the world economy. So I think economic control in the wake of that global economic implosion with the third seal will be the first phase of the Antichrist global takeover. And when that happens, then ultimately he'll institute the mark of the beast. No one can buy or sell without his mark. He'll have total control of the world economy. And the only way you can have that is some kind of cashless system, just like this central bank digital currency system that's being established. Now, you hear about all this, you say, man, that's really unsettling. And you look at our world today, and you know, we see the threat of recession coming, and the economy seems to be unsettled. And I just want to encourage everyone, don't do something rash. And a lot of people go and put all their money in gold. If you feel like that's what God wants you to do, certainly do that. But we want to be wise in these days in which we live. We want to be good stewards of what God has given to us. But we want to be ultimately rich toward God. It's what Jesus said in the parable of the rich farmer. He said, you want to be ultimately rich toward God. That's what you and I want to have, a rich, thriving relationship with God. And you know, remember what we see on all of our money. To me, it's ironic. People love money and they trust in their money. But all of our money says, in God we trust. So even in times like this, when we see these things happening that are unsettling, we need to remember that God's in control. Things are being set up by God for what's going to happen in the end times.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, I have in studio Pastor Mark Henry, because we have an Understanding the Times night coming up Thursday, October the 10th in suburban Minneapolis. And you can learn more at markhenryministries.com. You can go to olivetreeviews.org and go to events. You can call my office. It's going to be 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, October the 10th. It'll be live streamed, markhenryministries.com, markhenryministries.com. We'll post it to Rumble, YouTube, our website, post program. We'll even have a DVD of the event. No cost. Just come on out to 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And doors open at 6 p.m. Mark Henry, Mark Hitchcock here. He says, we're heading towards cashless. We've already talked about that. How much of what he talked about do you think believers will see?
We're not exactly sure, Jan, but one of the things for sure that if Jesus tarries another year or two, we're going to continue to see inflation.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to see the destruction of the US dollar. I could see a triggering event, and there's already lots of push for this right now, that the US dollar is no longer the global currency. And Americans have no idea what that means. It is going to be so destructive.
That's so important.
Our buying power, our influence in the world, it's going to be zero. We talk about America, again, World Economic Forum, America not being a superpower. One of the key things, the US dollar cannot be the global currency. So how do you do that? You start printing lots of money, you create a lot of debt, and you make the money worthless. And that's exactly what's happening. So I think we're going to see more and more businesses closing. We're seeing record numbers of businesses close around the country. And again, as you see more and more regulation taking place, unless we get a different economic plan flowing here pretty quick, there's not going to be much left except a few of these big companies.
Yeah.
And they're going to control everything and everyone's going to work for them. And let's face it, they're already working with the government. People use the word fascism. Fascist movements are the government telling certain businesses what to do and not to do. In other words, the government basically owns the company by telling them what to do. We're seeing that happen, it seems like, all around us. You're going to see the continued rise of commodities in prices. And just because as the value of the dollar decreases, those commodities will increase. You're going to see the continued financial mayhem. I think we'll see the digital currency for sure in the next 18 months.
Really?
We'll see.
Will it be gradual?
Unless there's a civil unrest or there could be an event, a black swan moment where someone hacks into a bank or something and we've got to do this right now. So maybe something like that. But I think they'll do it like they did the euro. If you look back at the euro, what they did is they said, hey, we're going to introduce the euro. If you're a German, you can turn in your Deutschmarks right now and we'll give you 5 euros for every German mark. And then it decreased. Yeah. And some Christians have asked me, Jan, if they do this, should we use the digital currency or not? I would say go ahead and do it because it's going to happen whether we would like it or not. At that point, it's going to happen. The question is, how do we function? How do we survive? How do we take care of our families? How do we pay our bills? How do we honor Jesus? And so just like using the dollar that is no longer on gold standard, the dollar should still be on a gold standard. It's not. Unfortunately, that's the case, and we're still using it. Okay, this is the next level.
Richard Nixon took us off of the gold standard. That was back, I believe, 1971. What does that mean?
For every dollar that was printed, there was a dollar's worth of gold in Fort Knox. And then basically what we do by taking it off of that standard, now I can print $2 or $5 or $10 or $100, and we don't have anything backing it other than just a promise. It's called fiat money. And historically, once a nation does that, that money will go through a process of inflation over 40 years and be devalued to zero, and then they institute a new currency. And so if it started in 1971, we're 50 years into this. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer. And you can see that $35 trillion in debt.
Yes.
Again, I used to think our leaders were fiscally responsible and noble people in all both parties and in the House and in the Senate and in the executive branch. And they were going to pay off this debt and we were going to solve our problems. I don't even think that's on the agenda anymore. I think it is literally, let's print as much money as we can. Let's become as filthy rich as individuals as we can. And who cares, because we're going to go to a different currency and we're not going to pay our debts anyways. I think that's really the plan.
Yeah, and you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm talking to Pastor Mark Henry, and we've been putting on some one-night conferences now for 3 years here in suburban Minneapolis, and we live stream all of them and offer them post-program. You came up with, a few years ago, the idea of a pastor's huddle, and I want to talk about it for just a minute here, then I want to wrap up our financial conversation here. But we've got another one coming up, and that would be in conjunction with our evening here of Thursday, October 10th. We have a huddle with Dr. Mike Dodds from Calvary University in Kansas City. It's going to be October 8th, 9th, 10th, and pastors can still sign up and attend if they want to just check out our website again, and I'll give an email address in just a moment. But give me your vision of this huddle, because we're into the third year.
Yeah, you and I have a great burden for churches to rise to the occasion. Jan, I just literally came from a meeting of about 80 people, and a lady grabbed me who's new to our church here, and she said, Mark, you got to get with the pastors. You got to help them rise to the occasion in this dark day and so forth. And what I love about you, what I love about Olive Tree, is we're not just people who can complain about churches. We want to be someone who strengthens churches. And pastors are under several areas of pressure. Many of them, and Jan, you and I have had them here at the huddles. I mean, they graduated from top seminaries. They never had eschatology classes. They never had classes on Daniel or Revelation, or they had a 2-hour class on eschatology in their systematic theology class. They had maybe 5 hours on Daniel, Revelation, the upper room discourse, and the Olivet Discourse, and that's it. It's impossible to understand prophecy in 5 hours. It's just not even possible. And so what I love about you and what we're doing is just saying, hey, churches, we care about you. Pastors, we care about you. And we want to pull together some of the best scholars we can find and say, hey, let's get together, huddle up, just like in a football game, call the huddle in the back before we go out and play. This is the play. This is what we got to do. And this huddle specifically is focusing on a biblical and theological evaluation of replacement theology. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, this really doesn't matter. Yes, it does, because the policies that are being presented before us that are anti-Israel, why is it that evangelical dispensationalists saying, no, we're not going that route? Because we don't see ourselves as replacing Israel. We see that God's got a future for Israel. We know that God blesses those who bless the people of Israel, ethnic Israel, and the state of Israel. And that's why this is very, very important. Sadly, Jan, most evangelical churches are carrying the theology from the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
Which believes in replacement theology, that they've replaced Israel. That's why they want to control governments. That's why you look back in history, many evangelicals coming out still try to work in that sector and oppose Israel. We're going to do something different.
Okay, pastors, there's still room. It's October 8th, 9th, 10th here in suburban Minneapolis with Dr. Mike Dodds. He's a former Air Force pilot, Air Force chaplain, pastor, college and seminary professor, now seminary dean, again, Calvary University in Kansas City, olivetreeviews.org, and go to events. Or you can call the office, which the number will be given at the end of the program, or just email josh@olivetreeviews.org, josh@olivetreeviews.org. No cost. You got to get here, take care of your housing, but no cost for the three-day event, October 8th, 9th, and 10th. Anything else we should say about that, Mark Henry?
Yeah, I just want to encourage you, pastors. Listen, people are asking questions about the future. They're trying to figure out what's going on in the world. So a literal, historical, grammatical interpretation is absolutely critical. That's what we're focusing on as we do all these various seminars with the pastors. This study is going to be very important. He's a world-class teacher, works closely with Tommy Ice and many of our other friends. You're going to be blessed. It's not a waste of time. Guys, join us.
So where this money situation is leading to, it's leading to the book of Revelation, particularly Revelation 13. It's leading to a mark. Again, believers will not see this. The church is not here for that seven-year tribulation time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. Believers are not here, and I'm going to be talking about that in just a couple of weeks, folks. We're going to focus like a laser beam on that on Understanding the Times Radio. It's leading to a chip, to a mark. And let me just play a quick clip because this has hit in Sweden.
When Elias Brotberger goes to work, he doesn't need ID. And he doesn't need money. In fact, much of what he needs to get through the day is hidden right there, just below the surface, in his hand.
You like to touch it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, weird. Yeah, it's like a grain of rice.
Yeah, a grain of rice.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Yeah, it's all in the chip, so I use it like to get around the building.
Buy snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's buy some snacks.
Exactly.
So I can't open it.
No.
Okay.
So what I need to do is I need to first blip my chip, and it will log me in, mm-hmm. and from there I get access to the fridge.
Popular TV shows like Black Mirror have imagined chips as part of a dystopian future.
Install ingrained procedure with local anesthetic and you're good to go.
In Sweden, the microchips are already here.
The microchip implants use the same technology that's in contactless credit cards,
which have made cash pretty much obsolete in Sweden.
No cash.
At this tech fair, a chipping event for those on the cutting edge, merging their hands with this new technology.
I thought it would be fun, right?
The process is simple and swift. A pinch of the skin, and in a matter of seconds, the chip is inserted. The transformation is complete. As for the pain,
I barely felt it.
But even in this nation of early adopters, not everyone is racing to get chipped.
Feel less human. I will feel like a robot.
I think it's so much more data can go into this when it's in your body.
There's no central registry tracking how many people are chipped, but biohacker Hannes Wellblood estimates between 5 and 10,000.
In the future, do you think everyone is going to be chipped?
I think it'll be voluntary, but I am certainly convinced that millions of people will find it very, very valuable to have a smart device under their skin.
Human microchipping may be our future, but in Sweden, it's already reality.
Mark Henry, if someone's left behind during the tribulation, that's their future.
It is, Jan, and we don't know if this is exactly the technology going to be used, but it definitely could fall into that category very easily. Sadly, today, all you do is say to somebody, we should do this because it's for your safety. We should do this because it's simple, and it's going to make your life better. And let me just ask our friends, is your life better because of technology, or is your life more stressful? Those of you can remember back in the days when we had some of this less. And I think, Jan, it's going to be sold that way.
You're right. It's coming at us like a freight train. We need to be paying attention. I think that's one of the heart cries you have, is that believers would pay attention to the things that are coming, because it's a warning for the church that we're going to be leaving here soon. It's a warning for the unbelieving world that you need to get on board before it's too late.
Jan, it's really already in play with like credit cards. I often get in groups with large groups of people and I say, I want everyone to open their wallets right now. How many of you have $20? Raise your hand. How many of you have $100? And they don't. It's not uncommon to see people with 15, 20. In fact, I read an article one time that said the average American has 26 credit cards.
Really?
And so now it's that tap sort of credit card. And that's really what we're describing. And we know Satan's going to use that for evil. I don't know if you've had this happen, Jan. I've gone where I've tapped it before and they say, oh, we're not accepting your card. Think about that. Mark of the beast. Oh, you said something against the state. You don't have freedom of speech. Oh, you were worshiping Jesus. We've got eyes everywhere watching. You go to get scanned or whatever the case might be, boom, they shut that down. That's what digital currency is going to do in whatever form it is, whether it's in a card form or whether it's an implant form, it's coming and that's what it's going to be like.
We need to wind this down with some hopeful, optimistic thoughts. Let's just say biblical thoughts. And we've made the point here that it's coming. The question is, do we stick around to experience it? I don't believe so, but nonetheless, we're seeing the stage being set. And there's a certain amount of this we're clearly seeing now. We could be seeing implementation of some things we didn't think we would see. But the point is we need to be spiritually ready. And that's the point of what we're sharing here.
Yeah, if a person hasn't trusted Jesus Christ, I beg you, amen. I plead with you right now, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. And if you will put your trust in him, not religion, not your own performance, not baptism, not singing in the choir, but if you will trust in Jesus alone, he'll give you the gift of everlasting life. And if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, listen, these things we should expect. Amen. Number one, God knows about it and he's not surprised. Number two, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where rust doesn't destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Let me just say thieves like socialists. Let me just remind you of what it says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse is in the context, Jan, of living with an abundance and living with little. Paul says he had learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ. And listen, whatever comes, if our confidence and trust is in the Lord and we're storing up treasures in heaven, remember what Jesus said, when you store up your treasures in heaven, that's where your heart is also. Get your heart in heaven, not here on earth. Manage what God has given you to manage for this time, this season, but it's all temporary. Our trust and rest is in God.
I think you have been encouraged, as have I, that these one-night events we've presented now 3 years, just a little over 3 years, it's reached out around the world, which has been encouraging for you and for me. I think 75 countries at least we've heard from.
Yeah, what a blessing. Thinking back the other day, you and I were sitting at that restaurant and you looked and you said, Mark, we should do these Thursday night events. And I'm like, Jan, I'm already too busy. And praise God, you talked me into it, Jan. And we've been able to reach so many hundreds of thousands of people with these events. We've seen people receive great encouragement. And praise God that he's allowing us to all partner together. And just to all of our listeners, I just want to say thank you for supporting Jan. Thank you for supporting Olive Tree because you funded that. This is all part of what you funded. And I just pray that you find joy in it as well.
Again, folks, we encourage you to come on out. That's Thursday evening, October the 10th here in suburban Minneapolis. Pastor Mark Henry will be presenting that evening and be presenting how to prepare for this coming economic tsunami. And it won't be all bad news, but we do need to be preparing. Absolutely, we need to prepare. It will be live streamed. Again, markhenryministries.com, 7 p.m. Central Time. We'll be posting it post-program, Rumble, YouTube. We'll have a DVD of the event as well. And we're now 3-4 months past doing 3 years doing these events. We just had one a few months ago with Michelle Bachman, which is doing tremendous online number of views. And I think what we're doing, Mark, is we're tapping into the bright side of technology. We know there's a coming terribly dark side. We've been talking about it for an hour, everything digital, but there's a bright side. It's getting the gospel out is what it's doing.
Absolutely. We've been able to preach in all of those countries, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking everywhere from Southeast Asia to Europe to Africa. God is definitely blessed. And we love all of our friends who are literally scattered throughout the world.
I want to go out of the program. I'm just going to cite a couple of Bible verses. This one, all familiar to every one of us. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And the last verse I'll share, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. And I think that's the point, is we want to give the spiritual and the biblical implication of everything that we've been talking about. But bottom line is, Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you, whether you got a lot of money or none at all. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We can be a light in the darkness. What Satan means for evil, God will always use for good, so don't grow weary in well-doing. You are called for such a time as this, and that means we are watching the last act of a long drama, and that all things predicted are falling into place.